It's 4 p.m. here in Washington, D.C. 4 p.m. here in Washington, D.C., and this is Webster Topley with World Crisis Radio. Back broadcasting in Washington, D.C. this week. Last week it was Seattle. I'm happy to say that Barry Zwicker and I had about 1,000 people in a series of events, 450 people at the University of Seattle, University of Washington, Seattle Hub Campus. We had a good 300 people at a peace group in a church, and I had 60 people at a book signing at Third Place Books on the north side of Seattle, where you can still get autographed copies of my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Made in USA, the only full political invisible government MIHOP made it happen on purpose, study of 9/11, originally written in English, the only one that is comprehensive and consistent from that critical MIHOP point of view, made it happen on purpose. A great success, therefore, showing that the 9/11 truth movement has gained in vim as a result of the Charlie Sheen, New York Magazine, CNN, Alex Jones, and related events that have happened now. And we're all looking forward to that question to ask Jimmy Walter and William Rodriguez when they come back from Venezuela. What's the plan? To what degree is President Hugo Chavez going to back a 9/11 truth summit, that is the Independent International Truth Commission, the modern equivalent of the Bertrand Russell Vietnam Tribunal of 66-67, this time for the biggest lie in world history, the 9/11 cover story of the Kane Hamilton Zelikow Commission. Later in this hour, before the end of this hour, we're going to have two distinguished guests. They are Annie Mashin and David Shaler. Both of them former officers of MI5, the British equivalent of the FBI, one of the premier intelligence agencies in the world. And they are the authors of a book called Spies. Actually, Annie is the author of Spies, Lies, and Whistleblowers, MI5, MI6, and the Shaler Affair. This was published by the Book Guild Limited of Sussex, England, in 2005. It is a tremendous window into the inner workings of one of the principal intelligence agencies of our time, one of the most powerful. Whether you've heard about it or not, it probably exceeds in power some of the ones you've heard more about. So that will be coming up about 40 to 45 minutes from now, and they'll be speaking to you from Great Britain. And with Haydn, I guess we've got to take our first break. How the time flies.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
This is Webster Griffin Topley back with you again on World Crisis Radio. We are streaming worldwide on rbnlive.com. We are broadcasting on shortwave, 11.915 megacycles in the 25-meter band, and scan your local low-power FM stations for other opportunities to listen in. I want to announce that I will be making a series of public appearances around my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA. That will include Tacoma Park, Maryland, Busboys and Poets Bookshop on the 24th of April at 8 p.m. Again, Tacoma Park, Maryland, Busboys and Poets, 24th of April, 8 p.m. On the 27th of April, it will be Burlington, Vermont, the Ira Allen Chapel at the University of Vermont, I believe. It's the Ira Allen Chapel, Pearl Street, and University Place from 7 to 10 p.m. And I want to call everybody's attention to a large gathering sponsored by 9/11 Truth. That is 9/11 Revealing the Truth, Reclaiming Our Future, Chicago, from the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of June at the Embassy Suites Hotel, Chicago O'Hare, Rosemont, Chicago. On the 2nd, 3rd, 4th of June, I will be speaking at that one. I urge you to go to the 9/11 Truth, 911truth.org website to find out more about that. Now, we've had the partial breakthroughs on 9/11, especially on during the week after March 20th, thanks to New York Magazine, Charlie Sheen, CNN, and a series of other things. Remember, at the time, I suggested that what's going on here is that a faction of the ruling class is interested in a limited hangout on the 9/11 issue as a means of bashing Bush back into line, trying to show Bush and Cheney that they can be out the window within hours if 911 Truth were to erupt. Now, some people say, well, if it's only a limited hangout, I'm not going. Well, a limited hangout is better than no hangout. And as soon as they bring their limited hangout, it's time for patriotic citizens to push for the full, unlimited hangout where all the trees in the forest must fall. And we've had the Mousawi trial going on in Alexandria, Virginia, and you'll notice that the defense of Mousawi, in a desperate attempt to save the life of this psychotic FBI patsy, part of the FBI Able Danger psychotic patsy stable, have been arguing with the good experts that Mousawi is a paranoid schizophrenic. That is, he is clinically insane and should not be eligible for the death penalty. He ought to be put away for good in a home for the clinically insane. this is typical. So he is indeed a madman, and that has, I think, become obvious to some people. Now, naturally, whenever there's progress in the 9/11 movement, and I'm thinking back to the end of 2004, 2005, when Jimmy Walter's first large-scale efforts were beginning to bear fruit, you remember at that time the establishment trotted out their last line of defense, the veteran provocateur Ward Churchill, that professor at the University of Colorado, who went on record saying that the people who died in the buildings were little Eichmanns, a statement of moral and intellectual insanity. Ward Churchill, of course, is somebody who claims to be an American Indian. American Indians say he's not. He claims to have been a member of the Weatherman fascist terrorist organization that was so important in destroying the upsurge of the 1960s. Whether he is or not seems to be open to question. But that's Ward Churchill. The establishment seems to trot him out and put him on TV whenever 9/11 truth is making progress. And sure enough, this week we had some kind of a conference on academic freedom featuring Ward Churchill debating David Horowitz, interesting conflict between the left and right wings of the fascist movement, it seems to me. And Ward Churchill was duly brought onto Hannity and Colmes last night on Fox News, all typical, to repeat his incendiary and insane remarks about the little Eichmanns. I remind you, Ward Churchill is the recipient of the 2005 Arlen Specter Award for the most imaginative defense of a ruling class cover-up. Remember that now Senator Arlen Specter was then the lawyer for the Warren Commission on the Kennedy assassination. He invented the magic bullet theory, that a bullet could create seven wounds and still be found in a pristine and unbattered state. Ward Churchill has come up with the most imaginative defense of the discredited and bankrupt Kane Hamilton Zelikow Commission report on 9/11. Ward Churchill's defense is, if you refuse to believe Kane Hamilton Zelikow, Condoleezza, Bush, and the FBI, you're a racist, because what you're doing is arguing that Arabs are intellectually inferior and would not have been able to carry out such a complicated operation. So the hat's off to Ward Churchill at Langley and elsewhere for his yeoman service in defending the official version. And again, he gets his mug on Hannity and Colmes. Fox News loves him. They've given hours and hours of airtime to him. This is the counter move to try to paper over the Charlie Sheen CNN appearances by making people believe that Ward Churchill is the true face of the 9/11 truth movement, when in reality he is the leading wrecker. Now let's look at the actual dynamics here going on in the ruling elite and what they're responding to at the present time. As we've tried to argue, it's largely a financial crisis that's driving things at this point, although there is a tremendous war danger coming out of it. The Financial Times of London, in the past week, published an editorial. I have to point out that the Financial Times in the oligarchical world has a far greater authority than the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Los Angeles Times or the Wall Street Journal. It is light years more important to them because it is the voice of the City of London financiers, the elder senior service wing of the U.S. British financier faction. The Financial Times now says, Cheney out, Rumsfeld out, both of them out now, that the ouster of Andrew Card and the coming of a few cosmetic changes in the White House will not cut the mustard. Bush has got to dump these two characters. Now, in terms of what they're worried about, I would point to the fact here in Washington we have persistent rumors, including in the Washington Post of this morning, calling for the ouster of the Secretary of the Treasury, John Snow, someone who very seldom gets mentioned in the general coverage, but of course, Secretary of Treasury is an absolutely critical post, and there's a general feeling that Snow has to go because he has been ineffective in explaining how strong the U.S. dollar really is. Well, a country, of course, with a $9 trillion public debt and a current accounts deficit that is approaching $1 trillion this year can hardly be called strong. It is a bankrupt state and a state on the brink of absolute economic breakdown. So Snow is getting the scapegoating for that. It is a symptom of the kind of political tropism that is going on right now inside the ruling elite. So the dollar crisis is the essence. People who have heard our broadcasts in the previous weeks know that what's going on behind the scenes is the end of the yen carry trade, the end of the 4 to 5 year period in which the Bank of Japan was willing to offer loans to international financial institutions for 0% interest. And, of course, what happened to those yen that were taken out as loans for 0%, they were then immediately transferred into the dollar zone, creating demand for dollars, updrafting the dollar, propping up the dollar. It's a colossal support operation for the dollar, which is now coming to an end. And we have followed the steps as that crisis has worked itself out across the globe. You'll recall, towards the end of February, it was the Icelandic currency, the krona, which was the first to collapse, down 16.16%, a colossal fall for a national currency within a period of a couple of weeks, as the Icelandic offshore banking center began to go through the ringer. And, of course, the Kaupthing Bank, which is now on the verge of something quite shocking. Then it came the turn of the Gulf states, Bush's friends in Abu Dhabi and Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, and elsewhere, plus, of course, the Saudi Arabian stock market, the biggest in the Arab world, and the Egyptian one, all of them down 20, 30, 40% in a kind of rolling panic going through that part of the world. Right now, it is New Zealand that is in the barrel. Their currency is down approximately 9%. The situation is now that everybody is waiting for the next shoe to drop. Will it be Russia, where the Treasury Secretary there, Gref, Finance Minister, has warned of a Russian bubble? Will it be Turkey? Will it be India? Will it be Hungary, South Africa? Any of these bubble states are now possible targets to become the next state that goes into the monetary crisis barrel. Remember, however, that this is not a crisis of Iceland, New Zealand, Russia, Turkey, India, Hungary, South Africa. It is a dollar crisis. It is a crisis of the entire system. It is part of the death agony of the dollar, and it is a prelude to cataclysmic events. Notice also that world bond markets are in free fall. They are declining rapidly, and this is considered to be a sign of very bad things. In particular, we have a series of warnings from international financial bigwigs, top investors, international financial officials. Let's start with Bill Gross of PIMCO. PIMCO, as you probably know, is the largest mutual fund that invests in bonds. And Bill Gross now is predicting that the dollar is going to take a dive. He says the dollar has lost its carry, meaning the yen carry trade, and must go down. And we'll have the rest of a series of really chilling international warnings when we come back in just a minute here on World Crisis Radio.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
This is Webster Topley once again here on World Crisis Radio, and we're going through a catalog, if you will, of recent warnings of systemic crisis, world financial breakdown crisis, coming from some of the bigwigs of the international finance oligarchy itself. We just heard from Bill Gross of PIMCO at a much higher level. On February 20th, Mervyn King, the governor of the Bank of England, the boss of the British Central Bank, gave a speech in which he called on the International Monetary Fund to take urgent measures now to prevent systemic crisis. He says, we are facing an adjustment. You have to get used to this word, adjustment. When the finance oligarchs say adjustment, they mean the crisis that is coming. Gradual adjustment means that the costs of the crisis are shifted to you, the broad public of the world, in a form of austerity. A disorderly adjustment means a panic crash and flight for the exit. So King is saying that the IMF has to find a new role in staving off the breakdown crisis of the dollar. What should they do? He says, well, it's time to bludgeon China into upvaluing their currency to take some pressure off the dollar. It's time to increase U.S. savings. Increase U.S. savings is a telegraphic expression for genocidal austerity here inside the United States. And David Ignatius of the Washington Post, where you can read about this, it appeared in the Washington Post on April 7th, Ignatius says, it's time to do something so that the towering American foreign trade deficit, $1 trillion, shrinks gradually rather than toppling in a cataclysm. So the headline this week might be, Washington Post writes of threat of U.S. and world economic cataclysm. Here's another one. Jeppe Christiansen, here we are with Berlingske Tidende, the main conservative newspaper of Denmark, April 1st, says, He's warning of systemic crisis. He says the global balance problems are now so great that the risk of a global financial collapse is much greater than usual. Investments that would normally be considered updated might be worth considering. So he's telling you how you can do something for yourself. But he's also got a list of crises, the oil crisis of the 70s, the Wall Street crash of 1987, the European Monetary System crash of 1992. So he's comparing these, but these, of course, are simply a harbinger of what's coming. We also have an important official out in the Far East. His name is Masahiro Kawai of the Asian Development Bank, and he says that there are now shocks hitting the United States economy that may interfere with the financing in the near future of this colossal U.S. current accounts deficit. And what he goes on to say is it is impossible. He's warning basically people in Asia to get ready to insulate themselves from the tsunami of the dollar collapse. He says we cannot assume that the financing of the U.S. current account deficit is a given. There is therefore a possibility of a dollar collapse, and what he seems to be talking about is an Asian currency block. And I think this, on the whole, makes sense. In the near future, it's going to be necessary to reorganize the world monetary system according to euro, dollar, an Asian bloc, and possibly a Latin American bloc, if Chavez's notions of Latin American economic integration are going to come to fruition. Furthermore, this weekend, today, in Vienna, there's an emergency meeting of the European Union finance ministers. This is the kind of thing we used to have back in the monetary crises of 67 to 73. Secret report which is focusing on hedge funds and leveraged buyout operations. And they're talking about, obviously, measures to stem systemic crisis. In other words, universal breakdown. The report has been leaked to Bloomberg, and here we find hedge funds can contribute to market efficiency and sharing of risks, but can also be a source of systemic risk. That's the key word again. That means world banking crisis, world currency crisis. We've also got here in the United States a guy by the name of John Reich. He is the director of the Office of Thrift Supervision. It used to be the Savings and Loan Watchdog Agency. Speaking April 6th in the New York Bankers Association, he points to the possibilities that interest-only mortgages and the adjustable rate mortgages can lead now to massive defaults on mortgages and a puncturing of the U.S. housing bubble. He says the problem is that mortgage lenders, instead of cutting back, are actually taking on more risky mortgages and increasing the possibilities of real trouble. We'll be back in a minute with the rest of this World Financial Overview.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. You cannot escape the headlines and the warnings about where the value of the U.S. dollar is going. Since November of last year, the 10-year U.S. Treasury has lost 1.6% of its value. The popular S&P 500 index has inked out a small 4.6% gain, while gold and silver have returned 20%. There's no doubt gold and silver have regained its luster as an asset class, and the reasons are simple. The twin U.S. deficits have spiraled out of control, and the accumulated debt in the United States has become way too high to be effectively ever repaid. It will either have to default or, more likely, inflate. There's never been a more important time to call Republic Trading Group to secure your future. Call us today and speak to Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call that number at 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Back again with World Crisis Radio. This is Webster Tarpley speaking to you from Washington. We're about 10 or 15 minutes away from bringing on David Shaler and Annie Mashin. People want to call in. I hope it's going to be questions directed to David and Annie and their particular areas of expertise, that is international intelligence operations, terrorism, espionage, and the rest of it. Please call in at 800-313-9443, and if you're patient, we can probably begin to get some callers on at the top of the coming hour, 800-313-9443. I was just bringing you up to speed on this statement from John Reich, the head of the Office of Thrift Supervision, federal agency, talking to the New York Bankers Association, where he says that in response to mortgage problems already, mortgage lenders are taking on more and more risky lenders, even undocumented ones, he says, greater risks with less vigilance. And he says that this combination of volatile funding streams with greater risk exposure will likely squeeze some institutions, meaning banks and lenders, if it has not done so already. So a very grim prognosis there. Finally, at the very top of this pyramid, we have Rodrigo de Rato, the director of the International Monetary Fund. He spoke Tuesday at the Harvard Center of European Studies, and Rodrigo de Rato is concerned about global imbalances which could trigger the fall of the entire House of Cards. Let me just quote him at some length. This is now the head of the IMF. This is the biggest finance oligarch manager in the world. He's responsible for the overall architecture. There are two obvious ways in which a disorderly adjustment of global imbalances could happen, he says. One would be an abrupt fall in the rate of consumption growth in the United States. In this scenario, there would be a contraction of global demand and possibly a global recession. That would mean essentially a collapse of the living standard in this country, is what he's saying, or I would say genocidal austerity. Another possibility, says Ratto of the IMF, is that adjustment could be forced by financial markets. In this scenario, investors might be unwilling to hold increasing amounts of U.S. financial assets at current exchange rates and interest rates. This would lead to a depreciation of the U.S. dollar, increases in U.S. interest rates, which would cause U.S. domestic demand to contract. Again, grim. If this happened abruptly, it could cause a severe downturn as well as global financial market disruptions. This essentially means that the dollar would crash. Everybody earning money denominated in dollars would find that those dollars would buy much less since everything now is imported under globalization. And that would then lead to this kind of a crisis. He also points to the U.S. housing bubble as a trigger. He says that you have a lot of economists in the U.S. government and academic institutions who say deficits don't matter, like Dick Cheney has said. And Ratto says, I find these views optimistic to the point of willful blindness. I do not believe that the risk of a disorderly adjustment, meaning a panic crash, in the near future is high, but it is increasing as imbalances continue. A disorderly adjustment of global imbalances could be produced not only by inaction, but also by unbalanced actions. And I think unbalanced actions is the shorthand for the Bush administration. Now, given this mentality here in the ruling class, this verge of something horrendous, the insanity and hysteria of the ruling class is increasing. We heard last week from Siren Sioni of the Carnegie Endowment, who says it is his view that the Bush White House is now committed to attacking Iran. Now we have this week in the Hudson Institute, we have a certain Laurent Mouravieck, the infamous character who delivered that briefing on Saudi Arabia and the Pentagon for Richard Perle and the Defense Policy Board back in the summer of 2002. And Mouravieck says that his sources are telling him that Cheney is pushing without stint for the attack on Iran, that Cheney wants the contingency plans for the attack to be upgraded because the diplomatic solution has lost its credibility. And now we get to perhaps the most chilling document of the week. This is an article in Foreign Affairs. Now, of course, this is the Council on Foreign Relations, that group of bankers and nefarious plutocrats that people are aware of. Foreign Affairs, March-April 2006, The Rise of U.S. Nuclear Primacy by Keir A. Lieber, L-I-E-B-E-R, and Daryl G. Press, P-R-E-S-S. You can find this on the Internet. You remember how people like James Woolsey and some others, I'm thinking of the neocons in general, promised us that the attack on Iraq would be a cakewalk. Here is an article that says that a thermonuclear first strike on Russia and China will be a cakewalk. So we now have the thermonuclear cakewalk brought to you by these two academics working for the Council on Foreign Relations. The thesis statement is, and I quote, it will probably soon be possible for the United States to destroy the long-range nuclear arsenals of Russia or China with a first strike. This dramatic shift in the nuclear balance of power stems from a series of improvements in the U.S. nuclear systems, plus the precipitous decline of Russia's arsenal and the glacial pace of modernization of China's nuclear forces. Unless Washington's policies change or Moscow and Beijing take steps to increase the size and readiness of their forces, Russia and China will live in the shadow of U.S. nuclear primacy for some years to come. Now, this is the siren song. This is what you've heard before. You'll be welcomed as liberators. They'll shower you with flowers. A thermonuclear first strike is a possibility. They do go through some specious statistics that the Russian deterrent has lost about 40% of its long-range bombers, 58% of its ICBMs, 80% of its submarine-launched ballistic missiles. They point to the fact that Russia has only two nuclear submarines left by their calculation, that China only has about 18 nuclear missiles with liquid fuel, and on this they say, well, it'll soon be possible to take care of them. This is leading to a global apocalypse. This is catastrophic, because anyone who has followed Putin in particular has seen that although the size of the overall Russian military establishment is shrinking, Putin has made sure that Russia has retained world leadership and indeed absolute supremacy in some of the most critical areas. And sure enough, as an answer to this raving Strangelove article in Foreign Affairs, we have Putin on March 30th visiting the Russian nuclear weapons plant of Nogo-Ogoreva, essentially to deliver his answer. And the answer is, don't try it. It will not go the way you think. No cakewalk, but world catastrophe, world apocalypse, as we read between the lines. Here's what he says. Putin, analysis of the present international situation and the prospects for the future oblige Russia to view its nuclear deterrent as a fundamental element in guaranteeing its security. And the Russian Federation's nuclear weapons industry is the material base for the state's nuclear deterrence policy. He talks about the development of appropriate technologies, forces, and assets to keep the Russian nuclear deterrent credible, and also conceptual documents, new kinds of strategic doctrine. Remember that in the course of the last year, Putin had come out saying that Russia now has an intercontinental ballistic missile that can escape and defeat any kind of Star Wars defense that is known in the world at this time, and that other countries will not have that and will not have it for the near future. Now, I have a few more things to say, but I would ask the studio in Texas to call them now. I've got, another 4 or 5 minutes of stuff. One of the things we see, of course, is a world mass strike against globalization. And this is how I would interpret a lot of things that are going on. You've seen Fox News, of course, has brought you all kinds of pictures of the French students. Remember, you'll have a march of about a million or half a million students. And at the end, of course, those people you see fighting with the police, those are agents provocateurs. Those are police agents. Those are sent in by the police themselves or by intelligence agencies to try to frighten the petty bourgeoisie and the average person. This is, of course, simply what happens at the end of the demonstration when the vast majority of the people have gone home. We have one of the biggest strike waves in Great Britain since the 1920s in the public sector, at least, is now going on. In Germany, you've got one of the main public sector unions, the old ÖTV, now called Verdi, which is on strike in an intermittent sort of way. And I would also put in the marches by the Mexican-Americans and others here in the United States. These are all protests against certain aspects of globalization. If we want to look at something serious in the U.S. economy, I would propose this. General Motors, Ford, and Delphi, that is the General Motors parts supplier, are all on the brink of bankruptcy. We now have Delphi, well, in bankruptcy, and proposing to eliminate 27,000 jobs out of 31,000 jobs in the United States. And I could read you, if I had more time, a catalog of the communities that are going to be devastated by this. What is involved with Delphi is, in short, the U.S. machine tool sector. It is the modern machine tool area that essentially is going to be destroyed. If you don't have a machine tool sector, you are at the end of the line in terms of a full set economy. You no longer have a viable economy that can stand on its own two feet. If you're concerned about national independence, national sovereignty, and the integrity of these economic processes, the issue has got to be the mass bankruptcies of the auto sector and above all, the subcontractors of the auto sectors. Let me just read a couple of places. How many jobs are going to be lost under the Delphi bankruptcy reorganization? Saginaw, Michigan, 540. Flint, Michigan, 2,000. Adrian, Michigan, I've spoken there, 380. Coopersville, Michigan, 570. Anderson, Indiana, 790. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 480. Dayton, Ohio, 1,400. Sandusky, Ohio, 900. Moraine, Ohio, 1100. Kettering, Ohio, 1000. Columbus, Ohio, 730. Landrum, South Carolina, 20. Gadsden, Alabama, 180. Cottondale, Alabama, 180. Athens, Alabama, 2000. Wichita Falls, Texas, 200. Brookhaven, Mississippi, 470. Olathe, Kansas, 70. New Brunswick, New Jersey, 350. And those are skilled machine tool, tool and die level union wage jobs that are going to be destroyed. This is, I submit to you, the great issue. General Motors bonds have now been lowered to B3, subjunk level. And you have it. The only area of U.S. Business that seems to be going well is derivatives. According to the Bank for International Settlements and a couple of other sources, we're now up to $105 trillion of derivatives, paper based on paper, having no relation to the real world except to suck it dry. I'm thinking if you have to pay a sales tax in your community, some states you even have to pay sales tax on your groceries, 5, 6, 7%. How about those bankers and financiers paying a modest tax on their $105 trillion of derivatives? This is sometimes known as the securities transfer tax, the Tobin tax. We had it in the U.S. into the 1960s and 1970s. It worked fine. Suppose we were to put a tax of 1% on those derivatives. That would give us an income stream for the tax revenues of more than $1 trillion, more than enough to take care of Social Security, tax relief for small business, finance a living wage in the private and public sectors, and create the principle that the bankers and the plutocrats should pay for the world depression. If 1%, of course, is too much, then even one one-tenth of a penny, one one-thousandth of a dollar, would bring us up to $105 billion, already a pretty decent contribution to the tax fund. So how about taxing the banks as a way to get out of the depression? A depression is expensive. World depression costs between $5 and $10 trillion. The big issue is who should pay for it. I don't think poor workers and middle class people should pay for it, and the bankers ought to. Now let's turn to our very, very important interview. Let me just say a few things about our guests. We're going to be joined from Great Britain by Annie Mashton and David Shaler. And again, they are the authors of this very, very interesting book, Spies, Lies, and Whistleblowers, MI5, MI6, and the Shaler Affair. Actually, again, I get it always wrong. Andy Mashton is the author, and David is one of the protagonists of the book, published by the Book Guild Sussex England, and I'm sure they can tell us how to obtain it. Let me just say the big thing that struck me in looking at this book is what I regard as the central event, and I'd like them to perhaps comment on it in just a minute. It is the question of the relation between MI5, MI6 on the one side, British intelligence, and what is known as Al-Qaeda. And you're going to get a real eye-opener. So these are two wonderful people, two good friends of mine. I've seen them on the Jimmy Walter Euro Tour in London last summer. They were also at the Thierry Meyssan Axis of Peace in Brussels. So let me, without further ado, introduce Annie and David. Are you there?
Hello there. Hi, Webster. Hi.
Hi, David. How are you?
Fine, fine. Can I just first say tonight Annie's not going to be with us, but she'd love to be on your show in future.
I see. Well, we'll have to have her come back then.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm sorry.
Did, yeah.
And that's wonderful. Now, David, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit, maybe starting from this moment when you were, maybe tell us a little bit about what MI5 is, because a lot of our listeners maybe don't know that. The U.S. media have very seldom, if ever, talked about it. But you were an officer of MI5. You were sitting in your office around 1995, and you noticed that something funny was happening between your counterpart at MI6 and Al-Qaeda. And if you just take it from there, our segment will go now for probably another 4 or 5 minutes. Oops, sorry. We'll have to get the answer when we come back. And then we'll have the whole next hour with David Shaler from Great Britain.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big-money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Welcome back to the World Crisis Radio. My name is Webster Topley. I'm delighted today to be joined by David Shaler, one of the most famous whistleblowers in recent British history. This is someone who became a celebrity, a target of the London tabloids back in the mid-1990s. He is the protagonist of the Shaler Affair, which is now proverbial. It's a fact of modern British and indeed European world history. The book is Spies, Lies, and Whistleblowers, MI5, MI6, and the Shaler Affair. And I guess the first thing to tell us, David, is what was the Shaler Affair? How did that all start?
Well, in terms of what happened with MI6 and Al-Qaeda, that, as you said, began in September 1995, and I stress to your listeners that, you know, I joined the services to stop terrorism, and the work I did against IRA terrorists and Libyan intelligence officers was all legitimate work. But I was approached by my opposite number in MI6, the guy in the Libyan desk there.
If you could just explain for our listeners, what is MI5, what is MI6, because our U.S.-controlled corporate media have not done a good job on this.
Well, MI5 is probably closest to the kind of intelligence divisions of the FBI. That's MI5, and MI6 is the external service, so it's more like the CIA, basically. And so MI5 was largely involved with domestic security, and that was where I was working. But I worked very closely with MI6, the sister service, on the Libyan target, basically. And as a result of that close working relationship, I was approached by an officer whose name is in the public domain called David Watson, whose MI6 number was PT16B, approached me and said that they'd had what's known as a walk-in in the British Embassy in Tunis. And a walk-in's obviously a volunteer. And this guy was a Libyan military intelligence officer. They codenamed him Tunworth. And basically he had outlined a kind of plan, a coup in Libya, in which they'd assassinate Colonel Gaddafi and take power. But he had actually admitted to this MI6 officer that he was actually leading a group of Islamic terrorists, basically. And this was kind of disaffected people from the Afghan war, veterans of that war, the ex-Mujahideen and so on. So people who very clearly at that point posed a threat to the West. Now, he couldn't carry out this operation without actually getting some money. And MI6 actually paid him. We don't know the exact sum, but it was somewhere in the region of about £100,000 or about $160,000 of taxpayers' money. But the crucial thing about this was that MI6 did not seek the permission of the government to do this. So the operation was illegal under the 1994 Intelligence Services Act in Britain.
Now let me just ask you on that. To whom should MI6 have gone to get that official sanction and official permission?
They should have gone to the Foreign Secretary, the Minister for Foreign Affairs. Right. And if they don't get his permission, they're acting as if you and I got involved in plotting terrorism and murder. We put on trial, quite obviously. And rather bizarrely, of course, when I blew the whistle on this, I used a legal route to alert Tony Blair and his government to the existence of this plot, which I hasten to add actually happened and went wrong and killed innocent people. I mean, obviously Gaddafi didn't die, and they did actually kill innocent people. So this was a state-sponsored operation by MI6, essentially.
David, we have the end of our first hour. We'll be back with a complete second hour with David Shaler on World Crisis Radio.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Station for producing some of Latin America. Finally, unlike so many other